Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Oh, Trojan fans, welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. A very sad show for us today. But happy and sad.
Exciting with sad.
I'm Keely Orr. Follow on Twitter, at Keely is my name. Sitting next to me in the studio for the last time.
This is so weird.
As a USCFootball.com contributor. Maddie, oh, you know, she could be here in the future. Like, preview. I'm not... She's been on other shows. They're saying her goodbyes. We'll give you all the details there. But I'm keeping the door open. I mean, We've had USC guests on before.
Okay.
Good. Brandon Sosa sitting next to you there. Like, you could be back here at some point.
Lunch with a Keely.
You know, we could do things like that. We've seen people from other companies do podcasts together. So yeah. I'm not shutting that door. But if you don't know, our beloved Keely, who's been with us for 7 years or so since she's been a freshman at USC, is moving on. She's going to be the director of creative content over at the USC Athletic Department. She's going to also be a team reporter for the USC football and men's and women's basketball team. So we're very, very happy for Keely. Very sad for us here at USCFootball.com. But we've talked about this on a lot of shows. But this is Wednesday, your final day.
I'm like recording this podcast, posting the content item, and then I'm essentially done here, which is crazy. So I know I feel a little like I hate the attention on me. So I'm like reaching my max of like, it's okay, we don't want to talk about me anymore. But it's crazy. Still surreal that this is going to be my last podcast with you, Ryan. Who am I going to troll and keep in line?
Yeah.
So fun.
We talked about this offline. You can still keep me in line even though you're not working.
Yes, good.
You know, anymore.
I told you I won't be able to stop it. It's just a habit now.
No, that's fine. I need the moral compass behind me or something. Just telling
something,
me, you know. Don't do that. Why'd you tweet that? You should have posted that. Like,
we're already.
She's right. You know,
it's our last day, and we're already having that. Like, why'd you do that? Why'd you post that? So it was just a cherry on top.
Yeah, there's a lot of mess. Today's a huge activity day on the Peristyle, which we'll get into all that.
Boy.
So Keely's right in the middle of it.
She wants to go
out guns blazing.
Conspiracy theories.
Put your tinfoil hats on. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on. But let's jump into the show. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us podcast@uscfootball.com. So we're still doing our Harvey Hyde podcast. Most likely be Chris Trevino and I doing a podcast here. There's going to be some staff additions to uscfootball.com. We're going to figure that out during the offseason, but we'll have some different shows for you, some different formatted shows, so kind of stay tuned for that. But, you know, any questions you have, you can send us to that email address, podcast@uscfootball.com, or call or text us at 424-254-9141. If you are on the Apple Podcasting app, please follow us and leave us a 5-star rating. You can also do 5-star ratings on Spotify now. So if you have like an Android.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So a lot of our Android users use Spotify. I use Spotify too, but not for my podcasting. Sometimes for podcasting. But now on Spotify, you can leave a 5-star. But the Apple Podcasting app is still the biggest one. So if you follow us there, Peristyle Podcast, leave us a 5-star review with any other comments. We would appreciate that. And Keely, I guess we got a couple new ones.
We did. So the first one is from Sizzle Rock, who left 5 stars and said, love you guys. Best USC football podcast out there. And it's not even close. Been rocking with you guys for a long time now and super appreciate your work. Hope to meet you all at the Collie one day. Keep up the good work. So
that's
thank you.
So sweet and very nice.
I love when people like who listen to the stuff actually like say hi to us. It's really fun because it's sometimes you just feel like you're talking to the ether.
I was just talking to like our tailgate concierge people. You know, we did a couple tailgates last year. We're already starting planning. We're going to do some events this year. No, maybe we'll get Keely to come out to the events. We'll get, you know, the staff members at USC to come. Like,
you couldn't even get me when I was working for you.
That's true. It might be easier when it's not like when it's not your job. You're promoting your brand over at USC and stuff.
But, sure. We got a second one. January 11th, All Madden Mom left us a 5-star a review. Great podcast. Keely, Ryan, Chuck, and Chris bring the insight and info we all crave with this new era of USC football. Great podcast, great content. Thanks for all you do. And fight on from a very cold Trojan in South Bend, currently 9 degrees.
Yikes.
I have respect for the Trojan fans in South Bend. I feel like we have a lot of those. And
there
not only
are
they in South Bend, but they're putting up with the cold. That's a double whammy right there.
You know, it's like I was at the beach this morning. It was a beautiful day. It was a little chilly early, but like sun was shining. You know, we're out playing volleyball. Like it's not 9 degrees, but it's still kind of cold to where I was in Hawaii last week, you know. So it's like you compare.
Ryan, just trying to rub it in. And then are you going to the Bahamas soon?
No, I've never been to the Bahamas, but
I
love Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii's just great. I mean, to be like literally like 82 degrees in January, like that's pretty good. You know, it's hard to beat that.
Pretty good, yes, I will say.
I grew up in the weather. I grew up in snow.
You grew up in the weather.
Weather. You know, like, we don't have weather here, really. But the weather in, you know, Western Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, trees turning. And, like, autumn's awesome. Like, I love that stuff. But, you know, day after day of cold and snow, like, sitting, you know, being in a bus stop in, like, a foot of snow, waiting for a bus to show up. Like, I don't want to ever do that again. No, I'm not a student anymore, so I don't have to wait at the bus stop.
True.
I have my own car. But... I'm on a car. Did you know that? But like, I just choose to not be that. I would rather it be 75 degrees every day than like people want, oh, I want some weather. Like, nope, I'd be exactly the same. I'd be happy every day.
I like the occasional rain, but 75, no clouds. Pretty great.
We're
being so mean to All Madden Mom, who just said that she's dying in 9 degree weather.
I'm
and you
sorry,
just went
All
on
Madden
a
Mom.
5 minute rant about how well you're doing in nice weather.
I know. Speaking of nice weather.
Yes.
Well, it's a beautiful day outside. Sometimes, you know, I go up, grab lunch somewhere. I go over our pals over at Trader Joe's, the one in Hermosa Beach. There's a nice little park out in front of Trader Joe's in that parking lot. And I was like, you know what? I want to go. I have a little blanket in the back of my car. I'm going to sit and have like a little personal picnic in the park and just pick up lunch stuff from Trader Joe's.
Oh, that's nice.
It was kind of nice. I kind of started off with the brookies. Like, I found the desserts first. So, like,
of course you did.
The brookies are really good. But there's, you know, if you go in there, I bought a little thing of cut up fruit, you know, like just an assortment of different fruits. There's like melons and grapes and stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a bunch of sandwiches too. Like, there's a buffalo chicken breast wrap that has a blue cheese dressing that's really good. You dump it in the dressing. Just pre-made stuff right in the refrigerator section. So I grabbed that, had lunch outside. It was pretty cool. If you want to do like a little cheese and crackers thing, they actually come with like a little, almost like personal, like little pieces of like pepperoni or some kind of cured meat and then some cheese like cut up and you get some of their crackers. Mm-hmm. You make your little, like, just like you have your personal little thing.
Like a charcuterie board?
It was like a mini charcuterie board, yeah.
Nice.
It's kind of cool, though. But, like, that's a nice little park, like, right in front of the Hermosa Beach one. I'm sorry to our...
Just rubbing it in even more.
But I had a little lunch outside this week, and it was nice.
Speaking
outside
of
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. Jerry, who goes by Great Halos Fan, shouts to the Angels, tweeted us this morning, actually, Ryan. He said, finally had a chance to use the gift card. Thanks. So he was actually... And he tweeted us a picture of his local Trader Joe's. So one of our reviewers who got a gift card, actually.
That's so cool, yeah.
Got to use it.
Yeah, we got a lot more reviews when we were giving away gift cards, so that was cool. So still send us reviews. We'll do some more giveaways and stuff with Trader Joe's, but they've been awesome. But yeah, that was a good one. Okay, Keely. So we did a show, Tunnel Vision. I did a podcast with Harvey Hyde. You did the final Family Feud podcast, which was good. I just finished listening to it today, so
okay. It
was nice. You know, Chris brought it. Chris's heartfelt, you know, you make him a member of the podcast and then just pull the rug out from under him. So we'll see. Hopefully me and Chris get, like, Chris has developed great chemistry with you guys.
Yeah.
And I say this all the time, like, you want information in your podcast, obviously, but it's a lot of it's about the chemistry of the people you're listening to. You guys had really good chemistry in the Family Feud. Everyone kind of had their own thing.
It was honestly just a continuation of us chatting at practice or after practice, stuff like that, and just putting mics in front of our face.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's the best way to podcast, in my opinion.
And you're just, yeah, you're recording like what you were talking about. And I love the way Chris has developed. He's really come out of a shell. So hopefully we can have some kind of similar chemistry there. So it'll be funny to see if he can open up and tell some of those jokes. So
just don't put him on the spot. He gets freaked out.
Yeah, you know how to handle it.
Let the wild Chris roam, you know?
We might have to have you as a guest early on to like, it, you know, work like it's sort of like
to still do my job.
He's like a horse, like he's like a, you know, a wild horse.
You gotta just put your hand out, put the carrot in your hand, and just stand there, Ryan.
No, this is one of the feet of the horse. This is like the, you know, if you ever watch Yellowstone, like they gotta break the horse. He's like a little wild. You gotta put the saddle on him and like, you know, break it. Like you've broken him. Like you've got him under control. He might get a little wild with me, so we'll see. I think this will work out all right. But yeah, so we'll it'll be fun to kind of talk with Chris. But the Family Feud one was great, and you know, we'll definitely miss that one. I think Shotgun still wants to be doing some podcasts, so we'll
the man will talk if you let him.
He can talk. We're gonna have set him up at a little East Coast studio thing going on. We gotta get Gerard on some more too, because
another man who can talk.
Those are very popular when Gerard comes on. Now he has to do like everyone has like, I don't know if you understand, like this team, it's kind of like herding cats. Like everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses, things you have to do. Some people have to text, some people have to email. It's like that's all we have to, everyone's handled a little bit differently. So, yeah. And Keely was really good at keeping things in control. So, I don't know what we're going to do now.
Whisper.
Yeah, she understands how all this stuff works. You were doing some whispering on the P today.
Oh, my goodness. At your direction, might I say.
At my direction?
Yes. You told me to post an update.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I already regret it.
How many things have I told you to do that you've regretted? Probably a lot.
I should have stuck with my guns here. My usual course of action is, you know what? I'll let the P do its thing. I'll chime in when it's absolutely necessary.
Well, to be fair, you chimed in like the end of a big thread. Chris like brought it up to the top and started a new thread.
I know.
I tweeted it.
Well, I don't know why you tweeted it.
I thought I'd get you a little more attention. So maybe explain for the listeners. Hold on. This is like breaking news.
There is no breaking news.
Give the USC fans what they want to hear. Tell us the good news.
No, stop it. Wow, you're major trolling me on my last pod. No, okay. So here's what happened. There is a tweet floating around that there is a Caleb Williams in USC's student directory. It's like someone blacked out the actual email address, but it pops up as Caleb Williams in the screenshot. And of course, this gets a ton of traction on the P. And so if something's getting a ton of traction on the P, obviously I want to source it out to make sure that everyone's just not on a wild goose chase.
Right. Yeah.
For no reason.
Make a few calls, send a few texts like, hey.
Because honestly.
Is the Caleb Williams like enrolled at USC now? You know, like that's what the P thinks.
Yeah. So this was. So. Because, yeah, I just don't – my whole goal this whole time and still now is to give the truth, report accurately, and that's all I try to do here. And everyone's –
at least for one more day.
Come on. Stop trolling me. Can you tell how stressed I am?
Spin control.
Oh, gosh. So here's what happened. So in our work group chat, we start communicating about the tweet. I chime in with what I've heard from sources and what the sources who are connected to the student directory see. There is no Caleb Williams when you search it. And to be honest, I was searching both Mario and Caleb for like weeks now through a source. So like and even when Mario committed, he wasn't immediately in the database. So okay. I didn't even trust the database as an accurate, predictor of whether or not someone's in there.
Yeah.
So I tell you guys that he's not in the database. That's what I'm hearing from my sources. Ryan, you go, hey, you should probably post an update on the P. So I go in, post an update of what I heard, and then exit out of that browser and drive to the studio. As I'm driving to the studio, I get multiple calls, one from Chris, one from a source. Hey, I now see that he's in the advanced directory. I didn't even know that was possible. So full disclosure, I didn't know that was an option. If I did, I probably would have waited to post an update. And then Chris goes like, people are freaking out on the P. Can I post what you said in its own thread? And I was like, sure. I can't see what's going on the P, but do it. So then I know this is really long-winded, but I'm putting full transparency out there. So then I get into the studio and log back on into the P, and everyone's just freaking out. And obviously, because that's what the P does. But then what they can't match up is, why would I say there is no Caleb Williams in the directory when he's showing up in the advanced search? I didn't know when I posted that there was an advanced search. So it wasn't like I was trying to be like, nothing to see here. I just didn't know that was a thing. So then after reading all the posts and how like, oh, okay, you're lying to us, I was a little bit like, come on, guys. Like, really? Like, I wouldn't lie to you after like how many years of trying to deliver the news to you guys.
Yeah, why are you lying to everybody? What was the reason behind that?
No, I wasn't lying. So then I post an update and I'm like, I checked around again. There is no update on Caleb's status with USC, whether he's going to commit, whether he's not, etc. It's not a reliable source to go off of the student directory. I had another source go as far to say that it's not the Caleb Williams that people are hoping for that shows up in the advanced search. They don't really know why that's even a thing, because like the date of birth is wrong, etc. So then I post that update, and now people are like, you didn't say he was in there. Now you're saying he's in there and there's not it's not him. And like, so I can see how putting just my two posts together, it seems like I'm now evolving my story. When in reality, so then I posted another post before we started recording. I was like, here's exactly what happened. Everything I just went through on this podcast, exactly what happened. If there was an update, I would post an update. There's not. I mean, I did the same thing when USC posted a fight on emoji and everyone thought it was Travis Dye. It was actually Austin Jones. And so I hopped on the P and said, hey, just so you know, it's not Caleb. It's not Travis Dye. It's not someone that has been mentioned a lot on the P. And I was just trying to do a service to be like, hey, it's like, don't start like popping the confetti now,
right?
You know, so it's just the same thing, but I messed up in the time I was driving and posting. And so yeah, so there is no giant conspiracy theory. This is the latest I've heard, and now we could post this podcast in 3 hours, Caleb makes up his mind, who knows? But this is what I know. No ulterior motives. This is just what it is.
I feel like we don't need to make the disclosure of, by the time you listen to this, because we've been saying that for like a month. Like,
I know,
by the time you
true.
Listen to this, Caleb Williams is probably going to be a Trojan. Yeah. Like, no, it still hasn't happened. Like, until it does, until it happens, we're just talking like it's never going to happen.
I know. And I will say this too as well. There have been times, and I'm not going to name one specific case where I know this happened, but there have been times where a transfer prospect has gone through, they put him through the admittance process. Like, they have been admitted to the university. They jumped through that loop so that that guy could commit, and that person ends up going to a different university.
Yeah.
So there has been a case where someone was admitted and is like in the system and yet committed somewhere else. So even still, that's why I'm just trying to pump the brakes on this, because like, until it's signed, sealed, delivered, which I've been told by sources that's not the case, I'm trying to just pump the brakes here. That's all. And that's the latest I know.
And so Shotgun Spratling tweeted out like, Mekhi Blackman, the new USC cornerback, Colorado cornerback, pretty unique name. He came up in the Cal student directory and everyone was tweeting, oh, he's in the Cal directory, he's going to Cal. Like, nope, he ended up at USC. I think the odds are still like in favor of USC getting Caleb Williams, but everyone's looking for a reason to why it's done now and why it's this. And people have tweeted, it's, you know, well, there was a tweet like a week and a half ago about it. He signed something. It's like, no, nothing's been signed. I think it's very likely he ends up at USC. But if he's not, like, it's not impossible either, you know? And people are just trying to find something. And I get it. I guess you want to have some sort of resolution to this, some answer to this. But until he decides, and I don't think there's some big conspiracy thing, it's not like, as much as I would like to believe this, you know, Keeley's new bosses are keeping it quiet because they want some, like, there's no reason for any of this stuff.
I haven't been told anything from USC.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just, obviously, because they're not going to tell me anything that I'm going to want to report. So, yeah.
But like, yeah, it's not like she knows and you're not, you know, and there's people like, look at us, like, we're trying to protect this information. Like, if we knew this and we could report it, we would report it. Like, I'm not protecting anybody, you know.
No, Ryan is competitive. And if somehow I knew or Chris knew or something, we would put it out there.
Yeah. If we could verify it, then we would be reporting it, you know. And, you know, people are tweeting me like, what are you, like, I would love for this to be true. I'd love for that to have been Caleb Williams in the directory. I'm told it's not. So I'm going to say it's not. I'm not saying it's not because we're trying to cover something up. I'm trying to, because that's the truth. Like, if you think Caleb Williams might enroll at USC tomorrow or in the next minute, but from what we're told, that's not the dude, the screenshot that's going around isn't the Caleb Williams that everyone is concerned about. The guy that, you know, brought Oklahoma back against Texas and all that. Like, it's not the same dude. So I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm sorry. We would love it for the be. I'd love for this to be over. I'm tired of talking about Caleb Williams. Like, I really could care unless if he goes to Wisconsin or LSU or whatever. Like, okay, at least it's over. I just want it to be over at this point. Like, personally, like, I've lost interest, you know. And this is a huge story, but I'm just kind of personally over it. Like, okay, just whatever happened. I'm not gonna like dive into conspiracy theories and blah blah blah. Like,
yeah,
he's a kid. He's going to make his choice. When he makes his choice, I'm here. I will accept the choice, whatever it is, and talk about it, you know? But until that happens, I'm not, like, looking at pictures and trying to decipher things. I'm not going all, you know, Illuminati on this stuff. It's like, he's going to make a choice, and we have to wait. Like, the people that are saying, oh, I know this is happening, it's like, no, you know, like, he knows what's happening, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's hard because you get all these different things popping up, and I think the natural instinct from our perspective is to try and vet it and calm people down if it needs to be calmed down, but the situation has gotten so rabid because I think people just really want to see this happen, and I understand that from a fan perspective, but at the same time, we're just trying to do our jobs here. You know, there's no, like slant or anything. No, it's I don't know. It's just interesting, but you mentioned Wisconsin. I feel like there's been some traction or some smoke about Caleb to Wisconsin as well.
Yeah, there's been a lot of smoke throughout this whole process. I think Cowherd tweeted earlier. We love Cowherd. You know, he's great. You know, he hears stuff. Like, think about where people are hearing stuff from. You know, and where do you think the truth is going to be? I think the Williams family is keeping things close to the vest. Lincoln Riley probably knows more than most people, but I'm guessing he doesn't know quite everything that Caleb Williams is going to do either. You know, if he knows for sure, he might be pretty confident that Caleb's going to sign, but in the back of his mind, he could go somewhere else. I mean, that's kind of where I think this is right now. So yeah, we'll see. Just for logistic purposes, the 28th, which we're recording, that's the 26th. That'd be the last day.
That's the ad drop deadline.
Yeah. Is that like an end of the day thing or whatever? I think you just have to do it on that day at some point.
You have to do it by that day. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think it's like an end of business type of thing.
So in the next, like, literally 48 hours, we will know for sure if Caleb Williams will be participating in USC spring football or not. If he announces to go somewhere in the next 48 hours, of course, you'll know where he's going to be. If he doesn't, then he's either going to sign someplace that is on the trimester, you know, system and can play spring football there. Or if he ends up at USC, he won't be participating in spring football. I mean, I think that's essentially where we are. So 48 hours until that happens, that deadline.
At least he needs to do it. I don't know how quickly they would make it public if he announced or whatnot.
Yeah,
the deadline could pass and he still could have be enrolled in classes.
Yeah. So I think you would see him in the student directory.
Yeah.
Right. If that happened.
I don't know. I don't know how much of this is like a reflection of the process. You know what I mean? There's so many layers too. He has to sign something. He has to there's a lot of layers that have to happen for him to officially be a thing. That what I'm saying is I don't think if then you see him in the student directory, that counts. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does.
There's a lot of layers. That's what I've learned through the transfer process over the years, is that it's not just you see one thing and it's done. Like, especially in that one case I was talking about, someone was actually admitted, and yet that didn't mean that he ended up committing.
Right. They ended up signing or whatever, and mm-hmm. He got admitted, but he wasn't if you start taking classes, then you're in.
Yeah.
You're locked in.
If there's a picture tweeted of Caleb in a class, then that's how you can know.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel committed to UCLA, the quarterback from UCF.
Yeah.
But he's at Oklahoma right now because there's no binding agreement. You just say, hey, I'm coming to UCLA. He didn't start class. He was about to start class.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams goes in the transfer portal, and Dylan Gabriel goes right to Oklahoma. So something like that. We've seen that stuff happen. So, all right.
Hopefully that wasn't too ranty. Just just sometimes the pee gets fired up and it's hard to feel attacked like that, you know?
Yeah. No, and they're, I mean, the fans are restless. And just if you don't know what the pee is.
Oh, yeah.
The Peristyle, you can go sign up if you're not a VIP member. It's essentially, it's our premium message board. So all of our subscribers, that's where they come to meet every day. And they're on that thing. I mean, literally Chris posted an update about Keely, what Keely said. And I looked at it a half an hour later and it was on 5 pages of responses. So there's a lot of USC fans. If you are a diehard fan, you like listening to this podcast for an hour. I mean, you can get on the Peristyle for $1 right now if you're not a member. So go on there and check it out. There are some really interesting threads and stuff going on. But yeah, Keely doing all her conspiracy theory stuff on the final day. This is great. You know, like it's just,
I don't like ruffling feathers on my last day. That's a little unfortunate.
This is going to be where, you know, first of all, it'll make you like, oh, thank God. Like if you were like questioning your decision, you're like, thank God, I don't have to deal with that.
Oh, no.
USC turns off all their comments and stuff, you know. They might turn them on now because no more.
I would lobby for that. I like hearing from fans, and I think USC should.
Yeah, no, that's do you want to talk about like what your role is going to be a little bit, or?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm going to act as like a bridge to connect the fans to teams. You know, I kind of came into this when, you know, in talking to USC and whatnot. I just really think there's missed opportunities in the narratives that players and coaches have in the season. I mean, like there's been so many times when I've talked to coaches or players just either in a scrum or as we're walking off the field. And I'm like, this is great. Like, this is a great story. Like, I wish fans knew about this. And I just feel we've missed that personal element. Like, because I see it because we were there all the time. But I don't think the average fan can see that. And so just going through and amplifying those things and making fans feel connected to the team that they root for, I think is a big stride going forward. So stuff like that. I mean, I've already seen people like messaged me on the P and everything about like how I used to watch, and this is hilarious, I used to watch Bruin Rewind, but there's also a Trojan Rewind, and it was on Fox Sports West, and it would show you kind of like bleacher shots after a touchdown and stuff like that. It really just made you feel like you were in it and with the team. And so kind of creating content like that where you feel like you are connected to the team. So stuff like that. And nice. So just kind of producing stuff both in front of the camera and behind the camera. So interviews, podcasts, stuff like that. So, and I honestly don't know what it'll look like going forward in the Lincoln Riley era with media availability. So hopefully this can kind of be a conduit to help people feel connected to the team.
Yeah. I know that'd be weird if it's like no media availability, but Keely still got it because she's working there.
I mean, it'd be nice.
Hey.
That's sorry.
Yeah, we're really excited for you, Keely. And
Thank you. I posted on the P, but I mean, even on this podcast as well, I remember just being so terrified after Dan retired and just having it be the Keely and Ryan pod. I was like, Dan would talk about anything for so long. How am I going to be able to fill in those shoes? And of course, you can't fill in Dan's shoes, but I just appreciate everyone who's listened and sent in questions and participate on the P and whatnot, because it's been just, it's really fun. And I'm really glad that people have watched me growing up, because a lot of the time, sometimes when I see people, they're like, I've been watching you since you were an intern, and man, you've gotten so much better. Like, yes, I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
So no, just very thankful for the experience. So thankful for you, Ryan. I've said that a million times, but you know how thankful I am. And just everyone that we worked with, Shotgun, Chris, Gerard, and Dan. My goodness, Dan's column.
Dan, that was great.
Oh, Dan, I just love him. He's so great. He knows how much he means to me. But always his time, our time together doing his analysis is something I always cherish, because that was just super fun.
Yeah.
And just hearing him just go off after games. Like,
yeah.
The stuff that didn't make it on air was always great as well. I'll say that.
It's going to be weird doing, you know, we've done, I mean, I used to be the host of Instant Analysis, and sort of like when Keely came in, she, you know, she took that over. And just took ownership of it. And then it just became like a her and Dan thing for a long time. So we'll, you know, we'll continue doing it, obviously. And, you know, I might host for a while, or we'll get, you know, another intern, the next Keely or something. I don't know. We'll see. There can't be another Keely, but just, you know, that'll all kind of change. But it is always interesting having, and you and I used to do it, right? We used to do Instant.
Like, yeah. No, to give you an idea, I used to watch Instant like in my dorm room freshman year and be like, oh my God, like the intro noise that now I can't even hear because I've heard it so much. I was like, oh my God, it's time for instant analysis.
That's so
Isn't
funny.
That crazy?
That is funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it develops and we'll keep developing. We'll see. It'll be fun. I mean, I'm sure when you're going to be signing out, you're going to be saying like USCfootball.com, crap.
So first of all, that whole like for USCfootball.com, I'm Keely Orr has become like a meme with my friends. And so sometimes when we're out, they'll be like, oh my God, is that Keely Orr from USCfootball.com? And I'm like, shut up. Like no one cares about me, but they just try and do that to embarrass me. But it's just like such habit to do that. And for more, check out USCfootball.com. Like it's such a habit that I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to like unprogram that in my mind.
You gotta like work that in every once in a while or something. But
you want to check out more news, check out USCfootball.com.
It's funny, just if you meet like a random person or just like a friend of a friend or something, and you could be out to dinner and someone will like, you know, we're not famous people, but we in a small circle of the world, like the USC football world, like a lot of people in that world know who we are, you know? And so you could have a friend that's like, why did that person come up to you and say hello? Like, oh, because they watch instant analysis or they listen to the podcast. It's kind of weird. Like you can get like random recognition from, you know, just from if you happen to come at a USC football fan. You know, I don't know if I told this on the air. Like I was picking up some fishing lures the other day at Turner Sports, literally. And this guy's like, oh, by the way, I like your show. He was like, probably like 60-year-old, like Asian guy, super, you know, super nice, chill. He was showing me some stuff to do with these lures that I was going to use for catching halibut over at Catalina. And it just like kind of drops like, oh, I like your show. And I'm like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah, I watch all the time. I listen all the time and stuff. There's just like kind of random. And if you're with a friend, they'll be looking at you like, what? Like, what are they talking about? Like, how does he know who you are? That's kind of a neat aspect to it. So hopefully you'll get even more recognition.
But
now
it's not the selling point, obviously.
But it's kind of a fun
sports and the journalism. Well, it was always fun for me to be next to you when it happened.
Why?
Like we'd be on a plane and someone would just like stick up their phone and have like the podcast logo at you or something like that. It was just like Ryan Abraham, the man, the myth, the legend.
Well, you got the same kind of treatment there. So
it is what it is.
It's
cool. Yeah.
Other sort of like news, we talked about this on Tunnel Vision a little bit, but I coined it like Transfer Palooza, the remaking of the roster. We'll just kind of go over this quick. I talked about it with Coach Harvey Hyde a little bit. But as of this moment, and this should slow down because there are only 2 days left before you can enroll in classes, we probably won't see a lot of transfer portal news. There was a lot, like I think six in the last week or so, six additions. You're going to see, you know, now USC getting ready for spring football. The semester is already going to be well underway. So there won't be, you know, there could be some announcements, but most likely not a lot of changes. Potentially after spring football, we could see some more. If you remember last year, like Jay Toya decided to transfer out. So I think post spring football, there you might see another wave of some players like see the writing on the wall, like, yeah, I'm never going to see the field or, you know, whatever there is, if they don't like the system, you might see some players leave, but also, you know, the staff can look at this team and go, oh, we need help here, we need help there, and maybe go to the transfer portal for that. Obviously, with the quarterback situation, if it's not resolved in the next 2 days, you only have two scholarship quarterbacks in spring football, so that would be something that would be a high priority following, you know, going into the summer. But as of right now, since the end of the season, 31 players are gone off of the roster. So
it's crazy.
A pretty significant chunk. And 20 have been added.
Yeah. You want to go through it? Just we can list. I have the graphic in front of me right now.
Yeah. And I got Chris's. So we'll do the transfer. Well, before we do the transfer portal, six players have graduated and nine players entered the NFL draft. I think last time we talked, Ben Griffiths was the one that did not. So he's also in the NFL draft. So nine players are in there. USC signed eight signees out of high school, which we knew about. But the transfer aspect of it is what we are going to kind of focus on here. 16 players are out and 12 are in out of the portal.
Yeah.
Is that kind of when we kind of focus on those guys? Or
yeah. I mean, if you just want to list the transfers out, obviously Keaton Slovis transferred to Pitt. Jackson Dart who's still in the portal. No commitment there. Keenan Kristen, Joseph Manjack, Brie McCoy, Michael Trigg, Casey Collier, Liam Douglas, Jacob Lichtenstein, who ended up at Miami. He wanted to be closer to home. Ishmael Sopcher, Hunter Echols, who's now at Arizona, Juliana Falanico, Raymond Scott, Jaden Williams, Chase Williams, and Parker Lewis. And Alex Stadhouse did enter the transfer portal and then exited after Parker Lewis entered the transfer portal. Yeah,
and Manjack's going to Houston, I believe.
Yes, yes. Houston or SMU?
I thought it was Houston.
Houston, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's from Texas or whatever.
Yeah, and, I was thinking of Nivar.
Yeah, we'll see. So Alex, and right now, if you look at our scholarship distribution chart, only one scholarship special teams player, which is weird.
Which is very different from what we saw in the Helton era.
There was like five at a time, which I always talked about, like, you have way too many special team scholarship players. Like, that was too many. One, and they probably will get, like, Alex Stadhouse will probably get a scholarship or something if he ends up being the starting kicker.
And I thought he filled in admirably when Parker Lewis was hurt.
He was great.
Yeah.
And it was, like, random. Like, he would just, I don't even, like, it wasn't like he was preparing for a week. Like, sometimes it would just be like, hey, Parker can't go, you got to play.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and he came in and kicked well.
Yeah.
So, you know, some big names lost there. I mean, I think they would have liked to keep, like, a Michael Trigg or a Jackson Dart. You know, but a lot of the players sort of like, you know, probably weren't going to see a lot of playing time. They might go in a different direction. They want a different kind of player. Anyone sort of stand out from you, for you on the list?
As far as?
Just like, this would be a player that, you know, hurts more, or like USC would have liked to keep, as opposed to, you know, it just probably was best for these players to part ways.
I think the biggest one, I think outside of Jackson Dart, because I think once you started having the Caleb Williams rumors happen, I think people kind of were wondering about Dart's status. I think Trigg was the biggest surprise for people, just because he's such a unique weapon. And I think he represented a type of tight end that we haven't really seen at USC since Daniel Amaterbebe. You know, just an athletic receiving tight end. So I think that obviously hurts USC. So because I would feel like Lake McCree, he actually kind of came on at the end of the season, but he's still more of a blocking tight end rather than a receiving tight end. So the threat, taking away the threat of Michael Trigg over the middle, is just kind of unfortunate for USC. But it's interesting how he's kind of been packaged as like a package deal with, or at least sold as a package deal with Jackson Dart. That's something that I probably wouldn't have expected going into this offseason. So I think that's interesting. But they've kind of been going together.
They're, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they posted their official visit photos from Oklahoma and whatnot. So we'll see. I mean, and we've talked about Dart. I mean, that's someone who we've talked ad nauseum about how the team just loved him in 2021 and how he was like, I mean, Keontae Ingram said that guy's going to win a Heisman. I thought people really loved him as a locker room presence. And so for him to leave, then, you know, kind of throws a wrench into that. So I don't know. And we've talked about this before, but in the Clay Helton era, when you left, there was always a way back in. Yes. I don't know what this new staff's policy is and whether or not ties were kind of severed when he did enter. That I'm not fully sure about. So we'll have to see going forward.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's sort of like the guys leaving right now. You know, Lincoln Riley. Sometimes you have to get that out of your head. Lincoln Riley talked about turning the roster over maybe 35 different spots. We already 31 players are off the roster. The pickups are where USC is making a lot of national headlines. It's the number one transfer class right now, and that's without the number one player who's, you know, predicted to go to USC by a lot of people, Caleb Williams. But 12 pickups, and I like the, I mean, it's a great mix where you got guys, you know, five Pac-12 guys, I believe. A couple of SEC linebackers came in over the weekend. Some Big 12 linemen, you know, an ACC offensive tackle. Pretty good mix of picking and choosing some great players to hold, you know, positions of need. I don't know if you want to go over we can go over the list if you want. Or
yeah, so we can, the transfers in, running back Travis Dye, who came from Oregon. So not only are you getting an experienced running back, but you're also hurting your Pac-12 foe at the same time. Austin Jones, who really burst onto the scene for Stanford in 2020. He committed the day before Travis Dye. So you're really revamping that running back room, who lost Keyonte Ingram and Vi Malapai, two veteran guys. Terrell Bynum, who's a wide receiver from Washington. Mario Williams, everyone knows him from Oklahoma. Brendan Rice from Colorado, the son of Jerry Rice. And then offensive lineman Bobby Haskins, who came from University of Virginia. Defensive lineman Earl Barquette from TCU. And that was someone who was mentioned. We knew that happened prior to the early signing period, right, Ryan? But they didn't announce it?
Right. That was the one I think we knew. And then we got the announcement afterwards.
Yeah. And then defensive lineman Tyrone Tallini from Kansas State. There's a outside linebacker or an edge rusher in Romello Height from Auburn, who committed last week. And then cornerback Mekhi Blackman from Colorado. And then cornerback Latrell McCutcheon from Oklahoma. So, I mean, it's a good spreading across position groups as far as who they picked up from the transfer portal.
Yeah, it wasn't like a dearth of like a whole bunch of Oklahoma guys, or there are some guys in the Big 12 that Lincoln Riley's offense got to see. Some defensive players, I think, that you would like. The getting a couple of linebackers out of SEC country, and an edge rusher from Auburn, and more of a run stopper from Alabama, who was a freshman All-American and had some injuries, and playing more of a backup role after that. But certainly someone that he was able to earn freshman All-American status at Alabama for a year, a couple years ago. There's some talent there, guys that you can make work. And I think just bringing in some more of a veteran presence, because if you look at the chart, the scholarship distribution chart, I mean, it's heavy on the sophomores because of that, the COVID year that didn't count, and everything's got mushed together. But, they're up to 10 juniors and 11 seniors right now. So they've added, some of the guys they've added, from that group, like Mekhi Blackman or Bobby Haskins, Terrell Bynum, the wide receiver, Travis Dye, just adding some senior leadership that you just didn't have on the squad before.
That's huge.
It's kind of nice. And, a guy like Travis Dye, argue one of the best running backs in the Pac-12. Austin Jones was someone that was on the field a lot, like could play on third downs, did, a lot of good things for Stanford. Like, to be able to just pick and choose. I did a podcast with David Woods yesterday for the Podcast of Champions. He's a UCLA guy, and he's sort of like, at our previous show, he said that USC was sort of, he goes, would you call it whelming as far as them hitting the transfer portal? Saying that it wasn't overwhelming, it was whelming. And then someone like wrote in like, well, David, how is it now? He's like, yes, it's overwhelming. He's like, how frustrating is that USC could just come in and take like Colorado's best corner and Stanford's best running back and Oregon's best running back, just go through the conference and pick like the best players you want from your rivals. He's like, yeah, that's not what you want to see from USC. So USC fans should be excited. Like, the fact that they're able to do that, this is a roster turnover that's happening. I'm not saying that they're going to win the Pac-12 in 2022, but they're a lot closer to winning it than I thought they would be just on the roster alone. He's going to be able to turn the roster over a lot faster than many people anticipated. And I think that's kind of where we are right now. So it's, I think there's more good news to come. There's going to be more changes. Lincoln Riley said they're going to be recruiting basically up until the start of fall camp, right? When you're getting guys in. Mm-hmm. But this is a really good start. And obviously getting like Caleb Williams, that would be more than a cherry on top.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think the fan attention would tell you that. But I think what was really interesting is obviously looking at the roster coming out of 2021, I think the general consensus was, okay, you have a lot of gaps in certain places, and you might have to classify 2022 as a rebuild year. And what's interesting in talking on the Family Feud pod, Shotgun kind of said that, based on what they have so far out of the transfer portal, I don't even know if he said, I don't even know if I would classify it as a rebuild year anymore. Do your expectations change based on who they have received so far through the portal?
Yeah, I think if you want to have realistic expectations, they've changed. And I think my expectations were going to be high anyway, because I just felt like USC just lacked good leadership. They lacked good coaching, and you bring that in. And I feel like, yes, there was holes in the roster, but we've seen, the Kyle Whittinghams of the world take a bunch of three-star dudes and make them into like great players. And you feel like great coaches can do that. But USC is going to be a place where you need some of that top five-star talent, and you're getting some of that in there now, and you're getting proven guys that have been experienced. And as long, you know, the question is going to be, how do you fit them all together? The chemistry factor, like if you remember, you know, Phil Jackson was always coaching this, you know, array of all-star players. You know, it's not easy to make Jordan and Pippen get along and have all, you know, the other stars around them, and you know, Kobe and Shaq, and got when you're able to take a bunch of talent, bring them together, and make them work together, I think that's there's a skill in that, and I think Lincoln Riley's been able to do that with transfers and homegrown players when he was at Oklahoma, and that's going to be the challenge here. You know, establishing a new culture, taking an old squad that you've turned over quite a bit, so you know it's a little shock to the system, right? Like there's a lot of players that had friends that were on the team that are no longer there. You know, guys that, you know, they might not be the best player, but someone that was your roommate or someone that you really liked, and you're like, man, that guy's gone. So even though I'm good enough to be here and I'm sticking around, like my three best friends are gone. You know, like there could be situations like that.
Yeah.
So there's a little shock to the system for some of the current players. Plus, you're bringing a whole bunch of guys in. Like Mo Hassan does his, you know, his podcast, Momentum, and he had like Malcolm Epps on. I was just starting to listen to that before, and you know, them talking about, like, they look at the fight on emojis too as players, and they're like, oh, we're getting another one. And, you know, it's basically like you have this group and there's stuff happening outside of your control that this group is being added. Usually it would be like, okay, there's a whole crop of freshmen coming in from this class. Well, now there's guys coming in from all over the place. It's not like you're just from high school. You're bringing in an experienced college player. Maybe he plays your position, like, and he's already started for 3 years somewhere else. It's a lot to like kind of mold that together. So that's going to be the biggest issue, I think, for Lincoln Riley. But to get back to the question, yeah, I think my expectations are even higher, because if you're going to look at this roster, it's significantly better, I think, than what it was just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy to do with a new class. 8 signees, you know. They're still on a couple, you know, top guys that they could bring in this recruiting class, which would be huge too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Utah's going to be really good, I think. They bring a lot of guys back. They don't lose much. They'll bring in a few more transfers. They hit the transfer portal heavy last year. It took a little while to gel, but they did. They've got a great quarterback. They're going to play USC at home next year. But, I mean, the way he's putting this together, they get Caleb Williams. They might end up being the favorite in the South. But if not, I think right now they're like number two to Utah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, I just think it's really interesting. I want to see how, you know, in his early signing day presser, Lincoln Riley talked about, hey, we've done this before. We know how to make a quality chemistry and culture in a football program. And basically gave us a warning, hey, we're gonna weed that out. And so now I'm curious, one, what does that look like now that you have guys in the transfer portal? And two, do the guys that you scouted in the transfer portal help build what you're going for? And like you said, the veteran leadership or supposed leadership that they're hoping to add, I think that's huge, because I think, you know, you look at the scholarship distribution chart and it was just, there's no one there at the senior level.
No.
And so the transfer portal definitely fixed that. And so I think that was obviously a smart move on their part, where you can build to the culture where I think they're trying to build because of the transfer portal additions.
Yeah. Any other USC kind of news, or you want to get to questions, or is there anything else going on around the program?
I mean, just the email gate.
I think we addressed that.
Yeah, no,
pretty
no,
well.
I know. I'm joking.
I think there's a lot going on as we've been talking.
Yes. If I sound a little distracted, I'm just trying to keep updated on the
P. All right. P. Why don't we take a quick break, come back with the short timer, Keely Yore, and we'll answer some questions.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. The final Ryan and Keeley in studio as her as a part of the USCFootball.com staff. But we really hope to have Keeley on in the future. You know, just talking about your new role. It's basically promoting your new role over there. So it's a thing.
True. You know? Yeah. I mean, you don't have to convince me to come back on.
Yeah. I got to talk to your boss or whatever.
Yeah, I think you know him.
I know. Yeah. You know, we'll see. We'll see what he does. But yeah, we'd love to have you back and hopefully we will. But let's, you want to just jump into some questions?
Sure. Let's go for it. First is our buddy Dan, class of 1962, who said, "Hi, Ryan and Keeley. I needed to give that greeting to Keeley one last time on the podcast. Congratulations. All positions and accolades that Keeley receives are richly deserved, but she, like Dan Weber, will be missed on the podcast. However, congratulations to Ryan for having an eye for talent, and I have no doubt that he will bring on another outstanding young journalist to replace Keeley. My last question for Keeley is, how would you describe your new position, and what do you hope to accomplish to make USC football the best in the country? Keeley, you'll be missed. Best wishes always, Dan, class of 1962. Well, thank you, Dan. We loved, I guess you're still going to send emails. I was like, we loved your emails. I loved reading your emails.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it's still surreal that, you know, I've spent all this time being like, oh, I'm a neutral party. I'm not hired by the university. And now I am going to be. So even questions like, what are you going to accomplish to make USC football the best in the country? I'm like, well, that's not my role, you know, but so that's still something that I'm going to have to transition to. But I think just, you know, if you make the USC brand is just so iconic that there's just easy fixes you can make media-wise and connecting fans. I mean, that's the thing is like reporting in a way is connecting fans to the teams that they love. And to me, I feel like this is a continuation of that, you know, and I've just with my producer mind, I've just seen missed opportunities. And so I'm really excited to just connect people even further. And my whole goal when I'm reporting is what would little Keeley the fan want to hear, want to see about the team that she loves. And so that's been my whole like tweet motto and everything like that when I've been trying to connect fans. And so I'm just going to apply that to this next role and just trying to make fans know the team they're rooting for.
Yeah. I mean, do you think like what you've learned here and what, I mean, that's, is that part of the appeal of like, hey, this is an outsider that like covered the team, but it's not really doing it from the team perspective. Like, did they want that kind of outside, you know, influence, I guess?
Yeah. And I think what I was saying was, I think there's just like, when you're around it so much, especially in USC, you forget kind of like the mystique factor, if you will. Like we're walking around Howard Jones, you know, it's another Tuesday. But for a fan, they would love to watch practice like that, you know. And I think they needed fresh eyes to be like, fans would love seeing this behind the scenes detail or opening this up. You know, I think just making it more accessible through media to the common fan is a goal, you know. And so I think I can see that and how you kind of connect those. You can make that bridge through media and through different podcasts or videos or whatnot. So, you know, working on that.
Nice.
But the fun thing is that, like, this role will be able to, like, it. I'm not stepping into someone's position. Like, this is something that I will be able to kind of mold into what works. And so if it doesn't sound like I have too many answers right now, it's because, like, I really will get in there and see what works best, you know?
You're like, oh, my God, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. We got a question from Eric in Duck Country who said, Ryan and Keeley, with Lincoln Riley's record of success with quarterbacks, do you think any 4- and 5-star quarterbacks he recruits are more likely to stay and wait behind an upperclassman as opposed to transferring if they don't get immediate playing time? Also, congratulations, Keeley. Thank you. Thank you. Best of luck. And I think I can safely say most of the P wouldn't mind if you kept contributing to the war room. We won't tell anyone. Thanks as always, Eric in Duck Country.
Hey, Eric, thanks. Yeah, we'll see. Her boss might not want her to do that. But, you know.
It seems like it would be a little sketchy if I cross over and then suddenly USCFootball.com is popping with all the scoop.
Yeah. Well, we were like, popping with the scoop already.
That's true. There,
but,
okay. Yeah.
But, you know, just keep it going. I think this isn't about, like, we've seen successful offenses, successful programs lose quarterbacks because it's more about their opportunity, their situation. If it's a thing where you might have to wait a year and you're going to take over, I think that's fine. But if it's, you know, two young quarterbacks and one wins out, I don't think you're sticking around to play your senior year. Now, it's happened for less talented quarterbacks, like the Mac Jones of the world or whatever. Like, they don't start till they're a senior. But, you know, if he was the Kyler Murray kind of athlete guy, he's probably not staying in Alabama all that time waiting behind somebody else. So, I mean, having that kind of success with quarterbacks probably helps for sure, but this is an era when if you're like a top guy and you're not playing, you're probably going to go somewhere else. And Jackson Dart, I mean, just if there's any question whatsoever, like, it's just easier to go and try to find a better spot. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. It's just like anything. You know, his track record, I think, will help some, but I don't think it's going to stop. Well, guys aren't going to transfer now because it's Lincoln Riley. Like, no, if it's two young quarterbacks and you don't feel you're going to start for the next couple of years, you're probably going somewhere else.
It's definitely different, though, between waiting behind a Clay Helton coach team and a Lincoln Riley coach team. Like, I think there's definitely a difference.
Sure.
But I think, like you said, we're still so new into the transfer portal era that I think it'll take some time and some lessons learned to maybe have people kind of revert back to the, you know what, I should stay and learn and then see if my time will come and then transfer. Because, I mean, like, guys like JT Daniels could be a warning for other players. You know, like, he got injured and then never played again at Georgia and now he's in the transfer portal again. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things where because it's such a handy option right now, it's very easy to be like, okay, I'm leaving, you know?
Right, exactly.
So we'll see. Frank in Sacramento said, isn't it too late for Caleb Williams to enroll in USC? The spring semester started January 10th.
It is not, like we talked about, January 28th. So we are recording this on the 26th, so you still got a couple days. But we are definitely running out of time, which I will be very happy when that time runs out, no matter what happens. I will just be happy to say he's not going to be coming in the spring or he's already there. Like, I don't like the option stuff. I'm kind of tired of talking about, like I already stated.
Jack from New Jersey said, at this point already, I don't really care if Caleb Williams comes to USC or not. So I think you're in agreement with Ryan there, Jack. Malachi Nelson is coming in 2023. If I was forced to make a decision, I would much rather have Lincoln Riley and Miller Moss than Clay Helton and Caleb Williams. Not that the latter would ever happen. Fight on to the men of Troy who choose to play at USC. Jack from New Jersey.
I mean, I care if he comes, but I don't care about the decision process anymore. Like, you know, I'm not going to be hanging on every fight on emoji tweet or whatever. Until it happens, it happens. But the last part of his message, Keeley, the men who come to choose to play for USC, there's definitely some resentment out there that people are upset that they haven't heard from him yet. And why does he want to play for USC? But I get what he's doing. He's taking his time, making a decision. It's a business decision. There's money around because of NIL deals and things like that. So I don't have an issue with him taking his time, but I get it though. Like, I mean, he could take his time. I don't have to lose sleep over it anymore. You know, that's what I choose not to do.
Yeah. We got a question from Michael from North Kakalaki. That's how he spelled it. Ryan, Keeley, and crew, what are your predictions for Max Gibbs with this new staff? Hoping he finds a productive role with this new staff.
He's a different body type than what USC is going to be running with Alex Grinch, most likely, where you saw, if you remember, Hercules Mataafa when he was at Washington State, like smaller, quicker guys. But I feel like they've been able to incorporate the players they have on the roster and use them, you know, a bigger guy that's like a space eater. He showed some really good tape. So a guy like Alex Grinch can say, okay, we typically don't do this, but goal line situations or whatever, like, you know, first downs, we're going to put a guy like Max Gibbs in there and, you know, try to stop the run, take up some space, eat up a couple blockers, free up a linebacker, whatever it is. I don't think he's tailor-made for this sort of role, but I feel like, and, you know, it'd be great to talk to the defensive staff to kind of see what they think about this, but I think you can find a place for guys like that. You know, if a Brandon Peely comes back, the guys that maybe don't fit the mold of what Alex Grinch in their front is normally looking for, but how do they find a way to incorporate those guys and make them productive.
Mm-hmm. And what I heard from team sources is that everyone just gravitated towards Max Gibbs. Like, he was just a great team morale
guy.
Yeah. And the defense, especially when he crossed over to that position group, was just encouraged him so much, and like he kind of found a home there. But he still, when we talked to him kind of towards the end of the season, he still wants to be on the offensive line eventually.
Offensive line,
yes. Okay. So there's a two-way thing maybe in his future, maybe just offensive line going downhill. I don't know. But apparently he's just great for like locker room team morale as well. So
yeah. Because like the Tyrone Tallini guy that they brought in from Kansas State, like he's like a 275-pounder, like he probably fits the role more. So curious to see. Did they move him back to the offensive line? Does Brandon Peely come back? Do they use those guys in like these bigger kind of role things? Yeah. I'd be curious to see.
Yeah. Eric in Duck Country sent another question that said, Ryan and Keeley, I've heard some media say USC does not have enough elite skill players to compete nationally. With the current 2022 commits and potential transfer portal additions, how could the skill positions become elite for 2022? Thanks.
I mean, you got some elite players.
Yeah.
Yeah. For skill, I'm not usually worried about the skill stuff with USC. You get guys. There's dudes, you know. I mean, next year, like Kyle Ford could have like this monster year, like the Trent, you know, Mario Williams or Taj Washington. You know, I mean, whatever. Like, there's a lot of guys there that have the potential. Now they got, you know, you got Travis Dyatt running back, Austin Jones, Darwin Barlow, I really liked a lot. You know, you got Raylik Brown coming in, 5-star freshman. Like, you know, the tight end group. I mean, Lake McCree looked awesome. Like, you know, what was Malcolm Epps going to do? They got dudes. Like, I think there's, skill is where I don't think you're worried that, like, you can compete, I think, nationally with USC skill position guys.
Yeah. I still, like, wide receiver is still an area of, like, it's just not the same USC that we've seen over the years.
True.
Where it's just, like, depth after depth. So that's where I'm still kind of iffy. But, I mean, the additions of Travis Dye and Austin Jones, I think, is huge for USC.
Yeah.
And, I mean, whether or not what Trigg decides to do. But
yeah, if Trigg comes back or something. But there's a lot of potential there. There's maybe not the kind of proven depth, but Kyle Ford was a 5-star. Like, he still might be. Like, we've seen some flashes from him. Like, if he has a huge year, it's like 1,100 receiving yards or something, you're like, all right, like, this was a guy that was on the roster the last 2 years and didn't do much. And now he's got 1,100 yards. You know, I think there could be situations like that where you get a couple guys that they're on this roster that are potential studs that just haven't been studly yet.
Haven't been studly. Yeah, exactly. We had a question from Mike in the Bay Area who basically wondered, could you see Jackson Dart heading to UCLA at all?
I don't think so. I mean, DTR is back.
Yeah.
They're apparently in it for Caleb Williams, too. I don't think Dart's going to a place that has like an established senior quarterback. You know, like, I don't think he's going there to wait. He already started as a freshman. I think he wants to go someplace he would start. I think that'd be a weird one. And I haven't heard anything on that one. You know, they got Ethan Garbers too, but they got a freshman. I got to see, was it Justin? I forget the freshman. He was an impressive kid over at the Poly Bowl. I forget his last name, the commit from UCLA, but I really liked him. I mean, he's a young kid, but I really liked him. But yeah, I don't see Dart going there.
And then our final question comes from Jack from New Jersey. Who said maybe Jackson Dart entering the portal may not be the end of the world. And then he goes into saying that how meniscus injuries can actually hurt people's knees and athletic ability in the long term. And so he said, I wish him the best at whatever school he lands at, but I'm saddened by the fact that he will probably never reach the skill he once had the potential to. Jack from New Jersey.
Oh, that's a little depressing, Jack.
A little depressing, yes.
Way to end on that one, Keely.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not familiar with, like, meniscus injuries really causing that kind of long-term it's ones that you can come back from quicker usually, but maybe it takes a little longer to be 100%. I don't think he looked like the Jackson Dart we saw in the Washington State game, really, for the, you know, the final games we saw him play, but I fully expect him to be back kind of doing Jackson Dart things. I mean,
yeah,
he's 19 years old or whatever, like, you know, you can, you cut off one of their arms, they grow back. They're so young. They just heal quickly, get back out there. So I think he's going to have a big, the potential for a big year wherever he ends up. But
yeah, no, I mean, he's been a gamer from the start, and I don't expect this to fully slow him down. I mean, what you saw from Dart at the end of the season was because he rushed as fast as possible from his surgery to get back on the field. Probably right. A little bit too early, in my opinion.
Probably,
but,
yeah.
But you know, he's a gamer.
But that, yeah, and that's, I think that afforded him the opportunity. I mean, the problem is, like, I mean, obviously Clay Helton was gone by then. He was already fired. So you want to get back out there and prove what you can do to the new coach, whoever it's going to be, or wherever you're going to go. And, you know, he ends up going into the transfer portal. So, yeah, I think he got a lot of buzz. He was like the second highest ranked quarterback, I think, in the portal outside of Caleb Williams. So USC involved with two of those guys, And, you know, we wish him the best. But, Jack, I wouldn't worry too much. I think wherever he goes, he's going to have a good season.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Well, that's going to wrap it up.
Weird.
It's dark here. I didn't turn any lights on. It's like got dark in the studio.
I know. I'm sorry that we had to podcast about like a email conspiracy, or not conspiracy, but email drama.
That's a perfect way to end it. Like, it's good.
It's fitting. The peristyle.
The peristyle is crazy. But I love it. We love it. You can still, I'm sure you'll still check it out.
Will I still get access? Can I be comped?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
You're still comped. Your boss is on it, you know.
Yeah.
He's checking out stuff. People love, like, so Brandon's Austin, you know, it's a funny thing, you know, people loved when we had Brandon on and we had him on Tunnel Vision stuff after Christmas. You know, sometimes you just like complaining to the ether, like fans would just be like, what, blah, blah, blah. But then they actually, you respond to them, they're like, oh, wait, you're a real person. The fact, you know, the peristyle loves just talking about coaches or administrators or whatever. Then they kind of realize like, oh, Brandon actually reads the boards. You know, it's like, yeah, he grew up a fan of Cincinnati. He grew up on those message boards. So naturally he comes to work for USC. He's going to check out the biggest message board out there, which is ours. And it's kind of funny to see that the fans sort of like, oh, and so then when something weird happens, they'll like tweet at Brandon or like post at Brandon, hey, Brandon, blah, 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 blah. So they'll probably do that to you too, I think. They'll know you'll be lurking somewhere.
Interesting. I mean, I was always lurking. I wasn't a huge commenter. Like, I would give if someone made me chuckle, I'd upvote. But, like, I was kind of a lurker, and now I will be even more a lurker.
Well, now you can lurk if, like, say, you know, you do a feature on, like, say, Caleb Williams signs with USC, and you do some, like, sit-down feature with him. Like, it'll be talked about on the peristyle. Like, oh, Arkeely, she's doing this. And so you'll probably get in there and read the comments about her.
I don't know. After today, I might be disowned.
Conspiracy theories.
Oh my goodness.
People. Yeah, what's been going on since we've been podcasting? Has it like got worse?
Just
or?
A lot. A lot is happening. I think you might have to jump in there.
I will jump in here after we talked and stuff. Well, they can listen to the podcast, you know.
True. Yeah. But everyone likes to hear from the boss man.
We try to do that. All right. Well, I guess we can wrap things up.
This is crazy.
I know. It's very sad.
I'm sorry.
I know we've said it a million times, but obviously very, very proud.
Thank you, Ryan.
You're the person you are, you know, more important than anything, but you know, as a great reporter and everything, and you've made my life better for the last 7 years.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah, it's so new. Someone that you know, I look forward to working with, and I'm glad we got to connect and get you on the staff. And I guess you're officially an intern now or something.
You
told me before, you're like, you never really told. You said it was like a trial period. It just never ended. It just kept going.
Yeah, I should search that in my messages. Yeah, you're like, let's try you out for 2 weeks and see if you'll be our intern. And never really.
That
got
was 7 years ago.
So we'll see.
Maybe you did so good. It just didn't matter. Like, obviously she's good at this.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. I really appreciate it.
No, it's been my pleasure, and I'm sure the fans have enjoyed you being around too. And we'll definitely get you on. You can't big time us now just because you're over there.
No. I'm not even big time.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. You could be big time over there.
I don't think
it's new. I mean, I love the fact that it's a new role.
Yeah.
Because there's some cool stuff that you could put out if you're the school. And I guess USC just wasn't really structured to do that. You had people doing things that were like, they had 10 different jobs and this wasn't like their main thing, you know? And
they don't really have anyone to like shepherd the content, if you will. That's kind of the word I use, but like to really present it as like, hey, check this out. Like, there's only so much a branded Twitter account can like push something, you know?
Right.
So I think that's where I kind of step in, and I think it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you and I wanted to do over the years that like USC just wasn't. It was just hard logistically since we're not on campus, and also just they're a little more protective. And so I think being internal will help produce that content.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious to see if you still hit some barriers even though you work there.
Like, probably.
Yeah, you're not doing that. Like, what? Like, come on.
I mean, there's always barriers wherever you go.
Yeah. There are. But yeah, you're going to kill it over there.
Thank you.
Again, very, very proud and very happy for you. Do you want to? You have a final word for?
Oh, goodness me. Well, you wanted me to do Hello Trojan fans.
You want
to
try that again?
No, it's your thing. You're so good at it. I've tried it like probably twice in podcast history, and it's just so cringe.
It did work very well.
No. But shouts to Trader Joe's. Shouts to all the Duck Country, Jason and Longhorn Country.
A lot of country people.
A lot of country people. Everyone who just like became the regulars. Appreciate y'all.
Ton of regulars out there. And we, you know, I know they're going to miss you, but we'll get you back. Like, you know, we've brought Dan back on.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we'll,
yeah.
We'll continue to do that, but we'll get you too. Maybe we'll get the both of you guys on together.
Ooh.
Dan's
reunion.
Yeah, Dan's column was, you know, he was just, he hadn't wrote a column for a few weeks. He's like, he wrote me like, I'm writing a column. I'm like, okay, like, cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, he's great.
We love Dan. Yep. Okay, well, I guess we'll sign out.
Oh, my goodness.
For Keely Orr, I'm Ryan Abraham. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on PeristylePodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.